Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Yeah, welcome back, everyone. I hope you're all still listening on this Thanksgiving weekend. Many in the community are visiting family and friends, but as you know, the Jewish people have Thanksgiving every day. As we say, when we pray to God, we give thanks to you and recount your praise evening, morning, and noon. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And yep, three times a day does a Jew give thanks to his God. So it's Thanksgiving every day. And the parsha this week is a good example. Rebecca, or Rivka, is giving birth to two nations, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's giving thanks to God for his ability to serve his creator, and Esau's giving thanks for his abilities to hunt and satisfy his earthly desires. And we know what happens next. Isaac's getting old and wants to bless Esau, his oldest, but Rebekah is not blind as to who should inherit. She tells Jacob to wear the clothes of Esau so that Isaac would bless him. Well, Isaac realizes his mistake, but does not take back the blessing. That's coming to a clear understanding that this blessing of Jacob, or Yaakov, was a divine providence, and that, in fact, Jacob was the one all along that should have received the blessing. After all, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob earlier in the story for a measly bowl of soup. In other words, he really didn't care about his birthright after all. And speaking of blessing, we're blessed to have with us today the staff of the JE, bringing you the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish. Picking the selections today, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Deborah DeLynn. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. And we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. Special guest today is Joe Weinroth, who's a local attorney and president of the Pittsburgh chapter of the Republican Jewish Coalition and former candidate for mayor of Pittsburgh. He joins us to give his take on the recent general elections held a few weeks ago. And you don't want to think of touching that radio dial. And don't forget to take time now to make a resolution to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week for reduced rate. Send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or call us at 412-979-5770, and we'll let you in on all the details. Hey, if you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisroel Zerlo, and his story segment is sponsored by a Jewish cowboy offering Stetson hats. The community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective is available for sponsorship, as is Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you and your homes each week. The entire staff really does work hard, even on this Thanksgiving weekend, to bring you the best in Jewish programming. But, you know, we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, and Artistic Photography. And don't forget to ask us for that special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that's yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770, or if you send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:39 p.m. And on this special Thanksgiving weekend, we've actually tracked down Musical Moish, which is out running around trying to chase those turkeys.
You got it right there. I'm out definitely running around. I don't know about chasing turkeys, but
so what do you got for us on the first cut today?
Well, I got something brand new.
Oh, boy.
Brand new album just released, mailed straight to the JE. So let's run. This is Shlomo Simcha, brand new, in an Yisah.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
מאמין לי הכוח שיסממי אם כל זה החכה לוי חכה לוי החכה לוי בכל יום שיבוי לא יסוג גוי חרב לא ילמדו מאמין לי אבל שיסמם יעד כל זה יחק אלוי יחק אלוי יחק אלוי בכל יום שיבוי לא יסוג גוי אלה גוי החרב לא ילמדו גוי את מלחום
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
The central points of the Seders we are currently reading are the spiritual greatness and steadfast faith of Avraham and Yitzchak, the numerous tests to which Hashem subjected them, and the promise to them by Hashem of eventual possession of the Holy Land. Perhaps one of the most difficult tests that they had to withstand, they and their descendants up to and including ourselves, was the challenge of the surrounding world. Sometimes we are challenged by the following words. You, who live in a materialistic world, in the midst of a highly competitive society, facing a desperate struggle for economical survival, how can you escape becoming enslaved to the idolatry of the land, be it the dollar bill or the fear to be different? How can you adhere to a code of 613 mitzvos, which, quote unquote, burden your life and limit your competitiveness at every side and turn. The clearest answer ever given to this challenging question was provided by our ancestors when they left Egypt. Let us imagine their situation. A whole people, men, women, and children, several million in number, eagerly leave a well-settled country with all its food and go out on a long and perilous journey without provisions, but with absolute reliance on the word of Hashem coming through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moreover, they do not follow the well-trodden and shorter route through the land of the Plishtim, which, although possibly entailing war, was yet by far the more logical alternative than crossing the vast and desolate desert. For in the fortunes of war, there is a chance of victory, and even in defeat, there is a chance of escape and survival for many. Whereas the chances of survival in the terrible desert without food or water were, by all the laws of nature, virtually nil. Nevertheless, they followed the obviously irrational route solely on the word of Moshe, speaking in the name of Hashem. Still greater is the wonder when we consider that this takes place after spending 210 years in a highly agricultural country, where nomadic life was despised, in a land of fertile soil, not in need of rain and unaffected by climatic inclemencies, richly irrigated by the faithful Nile River. In short, a land completely secure in its natural resources and natural laws and conditions. In the case of the Exodus, when the Jews responded to the divine call, disregarding so-called rational considerations, and broke with their negative past, it turned out that precisely this approach led to their true happiness, not only spiritual happiness, receiving the Torah and becoming a holy nation, but also material happiness, coming to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. So it is also today and always. By virtue of the Torah, lived and experienced in daily life, the Jew attaches himself to the Creator and Master of the world, regardless of what his past has been. He liberates himself from all natural restrictions and limitations, and attains his true happiness materially and spiritually.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you've worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Yaakov was born in 2108 when Yitzchak was 60 years old. At the age of 15, he purchased the birthright from his twin brother Esav. This meant that Yaakov's branch of the family would be the nucleus of a nation that would devote itself to the service of God. When Yaakov was 63, at his mother's, Rivka's, command, Yaakov impersonated his brother and received from Yitzchak the blessings. Bestowal of these blessings meant that Yitzchak validated Yaakov's birthright and that he was designated as the builder of the eternal chosen people. Esav realized what he had forfeited and developed a virulent hatred toward Yaakov. This implacable enmity has been passed down throughout the generations and is the source of anti-Semitism. The Roman Church, descended from Esav, saw itself as the new Israel, replacing the Jewish people whom Hashem had supposedly rejected, heaven forbid. The Nazis, too, viewed themselves as the master race, whose mission it was to eradicate the memory of the Jewish people. Not all attacks on the Jewish people's special status are so brazen. In today's egalitarian society, the concept of the chosen people has been greatly misunderstood. First, the meaning of chosen is that Jews have a covenantal relationship with God to bring the world to spiritual perfection by keeping the Torah's commandments and serving as spiritual role models, the proverbial light among the nations. Second, the covenantal relationship carries no notion of racial superiority, for any person may join the Jewish religion and become a member of the chosen people, regardless of race, color, or national origin. After receiving Yitzchak's blessings, Yaakov fled his brother's anger and settled in his uncle Lavan's house, where he worked for 20 years. Here he married his four wives, who gave birth to 11 sons, who in turn became the ancestors of the tribes of Israel. The 12th son, Binyamin, was born after Yaakov left Lavan. After leaving Lavan's house, Yaakov wrestled with Esav's guardian angel and defeated him, Yaakov sustaining an injury to his thigh in the process. This event foreshadowed what would transpire to the Jews in exile. The Jewish people survive but suffer both physical and spiritual injuries. Tragically, countless numbers of Jews have perished throughout the ages, and countless others have been lost through assimilation. But the Jewish people have survived. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a very happy and healthy Shabbos.
So there you have it. Thanks, Rabbi Eisen. This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262. Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
With Israel telling most terrorists they must put down their weapons first if they want a ceasefire, the Jerusalem Post reports that Israel is sending messages indirectly to Hamas to arrange a ceasefire. An unnamed government official denying dialogue with the terror group, former National Security Council Chief Giora Island says Israel is seeking an arrangement that would end the launching of Qassam rockets out of Gaza and the release of Corporal Gilad Shalit in exchange for the freeing of prisoners from the PLO-assigned areas and an end to the targeted killing of terrorists in Gaza. While Israel and the PLO are working for a meeting between Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas, there's little evidence that Abu Mazen can deliver a ceasefire. There are increased efforts to talk to Egypt at what the government officials called a strategic level about clamping down on the influx of arms into the Gaza Strip. That's also a clear worry for Israel, with Israeli Air Force officials aware that terrorists there may possess anti-aircraft rockets which they may deploy against Israeli helicopters, the way Hezbollah did in Lebanon during this summer's war. The Gaza terrorists are building up a stockpile of Concorde M anti-tank missiles initially produced in India and made in Iran since 2000, according to the Israeli government television news program Mabat. The rocket is carried on a small platform and can be rapidly dismounted for portable land operations. It has a range of more than a mile or a kilometer and a half and can penetrate steel armor up to 32 inches thick. United States Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had wanted to use her trip to Jordan this coming week to jumpstart Israeli PLO talks, but the idea was shelved due to the PLO's ongoing failure to establish a unity government, according to Israeli government sources. Earlier in the week, U.S. President George W. Bush unexpectedly announced he would be joining Rice on her Jordan trip, which was scheduled to coincide with a conference that King Abdullah of Jordan is hosting. Bush coming mainly to reassure the key American ally in the region that the United States will not execute a hasty withdrawal from Iraq in response to the Republican defeat in the American midterm elections earlier this month. Rice not popping over to Israel during her Jordan trip, but White House envoy Elliot Abrams, who is also attending the Jordan conference, is scheduled to visit Jerusalem on Tuesday. There's talk of further peace talk between the Prime Minister and Defense Minister Amir Peretz in the wake of the ruffled feathers at the start of this past week over Peretz's telephone call to Abbas to stop the Qassam attacks on the western Negev. The Haaretz Daily says senior Labor Party members have predicted the party chairman will give in to public pressure and abandon the post in spite of his statements that he would only give up the portfolio to be finance minister. Omer opposed to that possibility might fire Peretz if the addition of another party to the coalition means that Omer does not have to depend on the Labor Party. Ahead of a conference on Sunday, former senior military intelligence officer Dr. Yossi Ben-Ari says he believes that Israel should try to reach a rapid peace agreement with Syria. Ben-Ari argues that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and the Syrian military exploited the war in Lebanon to draw the conclusion that rocket and missile arsenals are the most important component in a conflict with Israel. Ben-Ari speaking about his conclusions at the conference when the complete results of a Market Watch poll on Israeli opinion about talks with Syria will also be released. Partial survey results released Wednesday indicate that more than half of Israelis would like to see Israel engage in negotiations with Syria, but are unprepared to withdraw from the Golan Heights as a price for peace. Al-Assad has called on Israel numerous times to renew negotiations, but has simultaneously hinted that Syria would be willing to take military steps if talks did not succeed. The official Israeli position is that Syria must see support of Hezbollah and terror organizations operating in the PLO-assigned areas before renewed negotiations can be considered. 3 weeks left to Hanukkah, and the Aliyah advocates at Nefesh B'Nefesh are sponsoring an Israel Pride tour by Schlockrock. Lenny Solomon, who applies Jewish content to all sorts of pop songs, talks about the process with Tamar Yonah, and you can hear more of his songs on Walter's World with Walter Bingham, on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Dalet, or the 4th of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, clear to partly cloudy with no significant change in temperature through Monday, warmer Tuesday and Wednesday. In Jerusalem on Friday, 18 degrees centigrade, 64 Fahrenheit. The Red Sea, 26 degrees centigrade, 79 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 25 degrees centigrade, 77 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights, 19 degrees centigrade, 66 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
I hope you have your dancing shoes on, because we've got some great mazel tovs this week. Rabbi and Mrs. Yosef Itkin on the marriage of their son Avraham Baruch to Beanie Hecht. Joel and Sheila Posen on the bas mitzvah of their daughter Liora. And a special mazel tov to the grandparents, Dr. and Mrs. Sion Giani. Ilanit Fox on the birth of a grandson. Dr. Michael and Sue Furman on the bat mitzvah of their daughter. And Rebecca Kranz on her upcoming marriage to Peretz Abramowitz. We look around the community. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program, 7:15 to 8 p.m. right after Shabbos at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center. Pizza and prizes for grades 1 to 8. The Breakfast Club Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. for men and women at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center as well. Don't forget the month of November, which is fast going away, is Read Hebrew America Month. So hopefully you can all read Hebrew this month. Beth Shalom is offering 5 classes in Hebrew literacy. It's probably down to about 1 or 2 left. For prayer book review, you can call Evelyn at the synagogue at 412-421-2288. The meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email us jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 4:39 p.m.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
We have a very special guest with us today on the Jewish Experience radio program. We have attorney Joseph Weinroth, who is the president of the Republican Jewish Coalition and a former candidate for mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, we've asked you here today because we had obviously recent elections, and you being president of the Republican Jewish Coalition, we'd like this being a Jewish radio show for you to comment a little bit about the elections and what it means for the Jewish people in this country, because there's been a lot of misconception out there about Democrats and Republicans and who supports the Jews and who doesn't. So you ready for a little give and take on that?
Absolutely. I'd love to have that discussion.
Okay, let's first talk about obviously the biggest race that everybody focused on here, the Santorum Casey matchup.
Right.
And one of the things that Santorum obviously was very polarizing in a lot of ways, and he had a lot of views. Some people liked him, some didn't. But one that they always said was that he was very steadfast in his support for the state of Israel. How is this going to affect, from Pennsylvania's standpoint, our support for the state of Israel? Casey, have any record on that? Can you comment on that in any way?
Well, I don't know. I don't think Casey has a record in particular. Obviously, he's been on a state level, and he has not, that I know of, been involved in anything on a foreign policy level. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that, you know, he will turn out to be as strong a friend of Israel as Rick Santorum was. I believe that Casey has been on a mission to Israel in the past, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
In the recent past. But all we can do is hope. Rick Santorum had a very strong record on supporting the state of Israel, and he was very clear in defining what he thought was right and wrong, and he clearly came down on the side of Israel in support. I'm hoping that Bob Casey will be as steadfast a supporter over time, and regardless of party affiliation, I think that's the right course, and hopefully he'll come out that way.
Sure, and I guess they had mentioned that Speaker Pelosi also has some very strong ties and has been an Israel supporter in the past. Can you comment on that in any way? Do you have any knowledge of that?
I don't have any personal knowledge, really, of her ties, although I have read about certain ties to Israel. And again, we can only hope that the support of the current and the new Democratic leadership will be as strong as the Republican leadership has been for Israel in the past several years and even decades. The Republican leadership has been outstanding, I have to say, and their support for Israel has been growing steadfastly over the last few years.
Well, talk about that. You had you told me earlier that you had some data that you wanted to discuss concerning Republican and Democrat support.
Well, yeah, actually it has to do with exit polling that was done in this recent election, and regarding the Jewish vote, It appears that Jewish voters were voting Republican again this time at about a 25 or 26% ratio, and that is in keeping with the results that we had in the 04 presidential election as well as 02. So the support among Jewish Americans for the Republican Party, it has been growing, and it's been holding steadfast, even though there has been a setback for Republicans generally in this last election. And I think that's a reflection of, unfortunately, a lot of Democratic leaders like Jimmy Carter and others who are not big supporters of Israel and, frankly, are looking at a more even-handed policy and coming out and stating that. So, again, I hope that the Democratic Party chooses the correct path and chooses to support the state of Israel as they have in the past, although that support has been wavering.
Now, President Bush has talked about his commitment for a Palestinian state. But some people say that the reason he's done it that way is because he's made some conditions to mollify the other side. At the same time, those conditions can never be fulfilled. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I think that he's trying to be even-handed in saying that if you meet certain conditions, if you act in good faith and work toward peace and stop the violence, that there is a solution possible. But that solution can't be achieved without peaceful coexistence. And so far, the Palestinian side has not met that condition.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Republican-Jewish coalition here a little bit. And one of the interesting things about it is, you know, people assume automatically in a knee-jerk way that Jews are going to be Democrats. Where did that whole concept come from, that Jews are expected to be Democrats?
Well, let's look at historically, the Democratic Party was clearly in the 1930s, 40s, it was the place where Jewish voters felt more comfortable, and it identified more with the values of Jewish voters. Mm-hmm. But that is not where the parties are today, and I think, frankly, over the last several decades, that's been changing so that today it's exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, there are certain polls that have been done recently that you can check out the Republican Jewish Coalition website at rjchq.org, mm-hmm. and it shows clearly that Republicans clearly show a higher level of support for the state of Israel than Democrats do in the general population. And clearly the Republican Party is stronger on the issue of Israel and support for the state than the Democrats have been of late, mm-hmm. and as well as other issues, you know, up and down the line along conservative lines. There are a lot of polls indicating that from the Orthodox community, support for Republicans is much heavier than
the Reform community,
and it's kind of a sliding scale.
Okay, so in other words, stronger in observance usually leads them, party affiliation leads more to, I would say, more the more conservative party, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, and it has been growing. Jewish support in the Republican Party and participation has been growing over the last couple of decades, certainly.
Okay, so what is the Republican-Jewish coalition now doing in the country and specifically in Pittsburgh after these elections to go forward?
Well, to go forward, first of all, the Republican-Jewish coalition is a national organization that's headquartered in Washington, but it also has a regional office in Philadelphia and California. It has, I believe, well over 30 chapters now nationwide, mm-hmm. And we've been growing very quickly. And the goal is simply to have a voice for the Jewish community in the Republican Party and vice versa, to convey the ideals and the beliefs and the policies and have a discussion between the Republican leadership and the Jewish community so that we can move forward in a progressive and positive way for issues that we are concerned about as a community.
All right, very good. Well, we're out of time, but I did want to mention to the listeners that the reason we brought you on is because two reasons. First of all, we wanted to see where the Jewish community stood after these elections, but primarily wanted to bring out the fact to many people that don't know that the Republican Party has been friendly to the Jews as well as the Democrats. It is something that is unusual, and so we certainly welcome the Democratic leaders to come on the program as well, and they can talk about it from their perspective. And we thank you for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. I wish everybody a good Shabbos.
I wish you a good Shabbos. And this has been Joseph Weinroth, who is the president of the Republican Jewish Coalition and former candidate for mayor of Pittsburgh. And are you going to run again?
Well, we'll make that decision in the next couple of months. I don't know the answer to that yet.
You're spoken like a true politician. Take care. Have a good Shabbos. We'll see you.
You too. Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Cosa,
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
There is a mitzvah in the Torah of Pirya Verivya, to be fruitful and multiply. This is the commandment of having children, for through each child the world is created anew. Sometimes a person isn't able to perform this mitzvah, but he or she can fulfill it in other ways. We are taught that by teaching or sponsoring a child's education, it is considered as if they are really their own child. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak, the son of Avraham, is finally blessed with children, Yaakov and Esav. The Pasuk says, Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, and these are the descendants of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Rashi, the famous commentator who elucidates on a simple level, explains that Toldos, descendants, are referring to Yaakov and Esav, for the verse doesn't actually state their names. As we know later on, Yaakov grew up to be a great scholar and the father of the 12 tribes, while Esav became a man of the field. Even though the twins chose very different paths later on, Hasidic thought states that there must be a connection between the two men. After all, they were twins. Even more than that, the name of the Torah portion is called Toldos, descendants, which includes both Yaakov and Esav. There is a discourse from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that explains the connection. Yaakov represents the soul, holiness in its purest form, while Esav exemplifies the body. The Parsha is called after both of them to show us that both the body and the soul have very unique qualities. The neshama, the soul, is described as a child because the love between the soul and God is natural, the same way that love between a parent and a child is natural. The body, on the other hand, does not have inherent love for Hashem. On the contrary, it hides God's presence. But think about this. When Hashem chose us to be His chosen people, He didn't choose us for our souls. After all, the souls come from Him. He chose us for our bodies, which appear very similar to the body of a non-Jew. Our bodies are the ones that actually carry out many of the mitzvos, though it's true that the soul is the driving force behind it. This is not to say that Hashem didn't choose the soul at all. We are only bringing out a new idea, the idea that the body doesn't have any redeeming spiritual qualities other than the fact that it was chosen by Hashem. Its chosenness, so to say, is more revealed than that of the soul's. When the body and the soul come together, each entity begins to learn from the other. The soul teaches the body how to love Hashem, while the body teaches the soul how to reveal its own chosenness. The result of this sharing is the ultimate bond. When spirituality takes the physical, and instead of ignoring it or beating it down, it recognizes its potential and raises it up to a level of its own. Have a good Shabbos.
ברוכים בשם, כהציון, לא ימות לאוי לום ישב, לא ימות לאוי לום ישב, לאוי לום ישב. ברוכים בשם, כהציון, לא ימות לאוי לום ישב, לא ימות לאוי לום ישב, לאוי לום ישב. ירושלים מורים מורים סובים לו,
מברכים בשם כהר ציון לא ימות לאוי לא משיב לא ימות לאוי לא משיב לאוי לא משיב מברכים בשם כהר ציון לא ימות לאוי לא משיב לא ימות לאוי לא משיב לאוי לא משיב ירושלים מורי מורי סוביב לו ואשר סוביב לעמו ואשר סוביב לעמו מיעקב ועד אילון ירושלים מורי מורי סוביב לו ואשר סוביב 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 לעמו ואשר סוביב לעמו מיעקב ועד
Now it's time for another classic story from Rabbi Meir Goldwasser. Today's story is sponsored by a Jewish cowboy, Western PA's only Jewish hatter. Call 412-551-6749. 412-551-6749. And now, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
A Jew, whose name was Feivel, came to seek the help of the famed Tzemach Tzedek. Feivel was almost weeping as he entered the Rebbe's room. He was being evicted from the inn he'd been running for over 20 years. He couldn't understand it. The landowner liked him. He always paid his rent on time, and he never made any trouble. But a week ago, the landowner, the Poritz, suddenly came and gave him 1 month's notice. All his pleas and reasoning didn't help. And now, with 9 mouths to feed, and no other way of earning a living, he had no other recourse than to travel to the Rebbe for help. When Feivel finished his story, the Rebbe took out a piece of paper and a pen, wrote a short letter, put it in an envelope, and addressed it. He then blessed Feivel with success and instructed him to deliver the letter as swiftly as possible. He thanked the Rebbe profusely and backed out of the room. Once outside, he glanced at the envelope and his heart sank. The Rebbe seemed to have mistakenly addressed it to the wrong man. In Feivel's village, there were two men by the name of Shmuel. The first, nicknamed Shmuel HaGodol, Big Shmuel, was a rich, influential person who had close connections with all the landowners and nobles, and some said even with the Tsar himself. If anyone could help Feivel, it would be him. But the Rebbe had addressed his note to Shmuel HaKotan, Little Shmuel, a simple old person who used to be a woodcutter and still lived with his wife in his small hut in the woods. The Rebbe must have intended to write Shmuel HaGodol. Little Shmuel was a virtual nobody. But Feivel was stuck. To enter the Rebbe's study again was out of the question. People waited for days for a minute of the Rebbe's time. Then he had an idea. The Rebbe had 7 sons. He would go to one of them and ask for advice. But the Rebbe's son only assured him of what he already knew. The Rebbe never makes a mistake. Normal people make mistakes, but not the Rebbe. So with a heavy heart, Feivel made his way to Little Shmuel's house in the middle of the forest and knocked on the door. The old man invited Feivel and asked him what he wanted. When he heard the reason for the visit and saw the Rebbe's letter asking him to help Feivel in his predicament, he admitted that he had no idea what the Rebbe meant. He suggested that Feivel be his guest for a few days, and they would see what would happen. A week passed. Feivel began to become depressed. What would become of him? In another 2 weeks he would have to forfeit his livelihood and vacate his home. Winter was approaching. The weather outside was cold and miserable, adding to his melancholy. Where would he go? What would he do? What would become of his wife and children? The wind and rain were pounding on the roofs and the walls. He put his head in his hands and wept. Suddenly, the front door rattled and thundered. Someone was pounding and shouting outside, "Help! Help! Let me in!" Little Shmuel ran to the door and opened it as Feivel looked on from his room. It was the Poritz, drenched to the bone, shivering and blue with cold. It seems that he had been on his way and the storm caught him unexpectedly. He had been wandering in the cold, lost in the forest for hours, and was on the verge of death. He fell to the floor in exhaustion. Shmuel helped him to the fireside, brought him a change of clothes, some warm blankets, and hot soup, and in no time the Poritz was sitting bundled up near the stove and showering small Shmuel with praises and promises. "You saved my life! I owe you my life!" he exclaimed. "Tell me how to repay you." "Listen," Shmuel answered. "If you truly wish to reward me, then you can do me a big favor. Anything, I swear, I owe you my life. Just ask," explained the Poritz. Well, Shmuel gave a glance at Feivel peeking from behind the door. "A few days ago, you told my good friend Feivel that he has to vacate his inn. I want you to let him stay." "So it shall be," shouted the Poritz. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up a very special Toldos edition of the Jewish Experience, I just want to remind you of some events around the community. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program, 7:15 to 8 p.m. right after Shabbos at the Kol Jewish Learning Center. Breakfast Club Sunday mornings, 8 a.m., men and women at the Kol also. The month of November is Read Hebrew America Month. Don't forget Beth Shalom. Offering classes in Hebrew literacy, call Evelyn, 412-421-2288. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery, very successful program. Continues to meet at Shari Torah every Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Call Ilana at 412-422-2224. Don't forget to call us if you want to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And as we wrap it up today, I want to thank attorney Joe Weinroth, who is the former candidate for the mayor of Pittsburgh, also the president of the Republican Jewish Coalition, for being with us and explaining the current elections and what they mean for the Jewish community. Also like to thank Musical Moish, who was on remote this week, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Mr. Lavora DeLynn, and of course we cannot forget our very special engineer who helps us put it all together, Jeremy Bossy. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat.